Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Life, Love, Marriage, Divorce, the podcast. I'm your host, Monique Davis-Dotson, and I have a very special guest with me today. She is a breast cancer survivor, a mother, and she is from Dallas, Texas, now living in Southern California, and it's a joy and an honor to have Miss Carnelia Baker sitting at the mic with me. Thank you for joining me at the mic. I'm so excited to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I feel honored. Well, I'm honored. I mean, you are really good friends with my mom, and that's how I know you. The connection goes way back. You were diagnosed with breast cancer. Can you fill the listeners in regarding your journey? How did you find out? Did you do the self-examination? Did it run in your family? Just give us a little bit about your background and your survivor journey.
Okay. Well, it does run in my family, unfortunately. And I say that because my mom was diagnosed at the age of 40. And that's the exact same age that I was diagnosed. We did do the BRCA test, BRCA1 testing, and that came out. It was inconclusive. And they later ran it again and said that that it was not hereditary. So that was saying that it doesn't necessarily run in our family, but I find that hard to believe because we were both at the same age. Mm-hmm. She was 40 and I was 40. I found the tumor doing a self breast examination, and I did it often because my mom was diagnosed at 40. So, you know, I was always doing my self breast check just because I didn't want to fall in that. And I wanted to make sure, you know, that if it did happen, I wanted to try and catch it early. Mm-hmm. So I did do a self breast exam, and that's where I found the lump. And when I found the lump, you know, I was in denial. I didn't want it to be true. I didn't want it to be what was like in the back of my mind thinking that, oh my God, I think this is breast cancer, but I didn't want to believe that. So
right.
I found it and went about my day. And then I did the exam again the next day. And then the next day it was still there. Honestly, I thought that I had overdid it at the gym the day before. I went to the gym, I did upper body. And I thought that, you know, that I had just did too much, that maybe, you know, that it was just maybe just a swollen muscle or, right. And that's how I was trying to, you know.
But that's common. That's how women are. You know, we'd be like, oh, it's just this because we're caretakers or, you know, our theme is I don't have time to be sick, you know, because you have to take care of everybody. So it's anything but what it possibly could be. To say, hey, I was working out, I must have pulled something or strained something, but you realize that, well, this is still here and it's a tad different from a strain or a pull or something.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I call my doctor on the second day, and I said, my doctor, I call my gynecologist because him and I, we have a good relationship, you know, and I was just, you know, I just wanted to reach out to a professional.
Right.
And so I called him and I told him, you know, what I had found. And he says, well, Carnelia, you know, it does run in your family. You know, your mom is a breast cancer survivor, so it's possible. And he says, well, what I want you to do is, he said what he was going to do. He called over to the breast cancer center and to see if they had any openings. And he knew one of the doctors over there. So he says, well, I'm going to call and see. And he called me right back and he says, you know what, they have an opening today. Mm. And can you go over, you know, at 3:00? And I was like, yeah, I can, I'm off. So I did. I went over and they did the exam, a mammogram. And in the mammogram, it showed like a little bit of something. And they were saying, you know, if it didn't run in my family, they wouldn't have even thought any more about it or, you know, but right. They were like, well, this is a little something and it may be so. Let's go ahead and do a biopsy on it. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, you know, when I went in and I had the biopsy done, and 2 weeks later, they called me back and they said that, you know, what we found is positive. And me being like, positive,
right.
Positive, I don't have it. Positive, I do have it. What does positive mean, you know? And she says, yeah, you, you do have breast cancer, and it's IDC, and that's invasive ductal carcinoma. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that sounded like an astronaut to me. I was like, what does that mean? Yeah. It basically meant that they found the tumor was in the milk ducts of my breasts. Mm-hmm. And I went in and saw an oncologist, and then the whole ball began to roll. I will say that the doctor that I was seeing, the first doctor that I saw, he was a man, and he didn't reassure me. He basically was like, yeah, you got it. And we're going to go in and cut your breast off. And then, you know, you'll do chemotherapy and all your hair will fall out and you'll do radiation. And I was like, right. You know, I felt really uncomfortable. I didn't feel, you know, comfortable at all because he came off so strong.
Right.
And what do I know about this? You know, I needed somebody to be kind of tender with me, you
exactly.
know, he was not.
Right.
So I told my ex at the time, I was like, I don't like him, you know, and he was all nervous because he was like, he just wanted to get out. Mm-hmm. And it's triple negative, and triple negative is very aggressive, you know, and they told me, you know, that they said that. And so he was like, well, oh, let's just go with him and let's just get it done. You know, let's just go ahead and remove the breast. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. This is going to be a long process. And I want to be with somebody that's going to be gentle with me, or, you know,
a little bit more nurturing as far as, you know, getting the information and giving that to someone. There has to be some kind of nurturing and encouraging. Give the information, yes, but at the same time, you know, it's a lot to hear and a lot to digest, I'm sure, you know?
Yeah, it was. And a good friend of mine, I talked to her about it, and she was like, no, Cornelia, there's a special, her name is Lynn Canavan. And she told me that, you know, she had a scare, but it was nothing. But she said she was so good. So she gave me her number, and I called her, and oh, man, it was just like night and day. You know, mm-hmm. It went from a nightmare to, you know, somebody being gentle with you and taking you by the hand and, you know, and explaining it all and, you know, telling you the process. And so once I talked to her, then the whole ball really began to roll, and I basically went into surgery. They removed the breast. I started the chemotherapy. I did 6 months of chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. And God, that was so, it was bad. They said, you know, well, it's possible that you might have this side effect, or you might have this side effect, or you might have that side effect. Well, I unfortunately experienced a lot of the side effects. And
what were they?
One of them was neuropathy. Mm-hmm. And neuropathy is the nerve damage, and it's like your nerves. And I mean, you know, our body is made up of a lot of nerves. Mm-hmm. And with that, my hands were like, you know how your hands go to sleep?
Yeah.
And then they're always tingling, you know, when they kind of come back. Mm-hmm. That's what it was. It was my feet. It was my hands, my skin. To take a shower was horrifying. I'd get in the shower and that water would hit my skin, girl. And I would be in the shower and I would cry the whole time because it just felt like 1,000 needles just,
oh my God,
piercing your skin.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was very, that was bad. Yeah. And, you know, it did, it subsided, you know, once the chemotherapy was over. It wasn't the whole time, but it was just like, I went through that. I went through the night sweats. I went through I lost all my hair. You know, it was a lot that went along with the chemotherapy. And I did 6 months of chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. I did a month of radiation. And once it was all said and done, my hair started growing back. Mm-hmm. You know, I started to, you know, get out and start being more active. But during the time, my dad was pretty much my caregiver. He was there. Mm-hmm. I mean, my dad would come over every day, watch Westerns, and I'd be like, Daddy, can we watch something else? And see, he knew that I didn't really like Westerns, so he put it on the Westerns, and he'd be like, you ready to go for a walk? And I'm like, nope. No, I don't want to go for a walk today, Daddy. He's okay. And he'd leave it on the Westerns. And then I'd get tired of watching Westerns. And I'd be like, all right, let's go for a walk.
Right, right. So he knew what he was doing to motivate you to get out and about. in a very kind and gentle way.
Yeah, he did. He did. He was, oh my God, my daddy was the world to me then because he was right there. And my aunt would come over and cook breakfast for me. And sometimes she'd still be there and we'd all go for a walk. And my family was definitely there. My mom, she came over, she washed my clothes. You know, she would come cook dinner for me in the evenings. I mean, it was tough going through, but to having my family there and, you know, and them just being there for me. And oh, somebody was always sending me flowers. I mean, my house for the whole almost a year, I had fresh flowers all the time.
Wow.
I mean, it seemed like one would die and some more would come, you know, yeah. Just friends and family.
Exactly. It's awesome to have that kind of support and the importance of it during our times of sickness and illness. What can you say to someone who may not have that family support? Are there groups that they can find that kind of support in case, you know, if you're an only child and your parents are deceased, you know, or whatever your situation may be. I know that you are an advocate for women who are traveling the breast cancer journey. Were there any support groups that were offered to you that maybe you can offer to someone else?
Oh yeah, definitely. And during the time when I was diagnosed, I went and I saw my oncologist, and I mean, I was a basket case. I was crying. I was looking crazy. You know, my hair was all falling out. I was like, you know, I need some help here. You know, even though my family was there for me, yeah. You know, they don't always have the right answers. You know, don't let them go in and do no biopsy. They just make the cancer spread. I mean, there's lies out there that, you know, that people continue mm-hmm. to spread because they don't know the truth. Mm-hmm. And my oncologist, he gave me a card and he said, this is a support group. And it was, a national African-American support group called Sisters Network. Mm-hmm. And I called them, and the president of the group, she called me back. And man, from that first phone call, I just felt like, you know, this is it. This is the group that I'm going to be a part of. And they just loved on me and they sent me flowers and gift cards. And, you know, occasionally I would have a visit and it was awesome. And for those women that don't have the support or the family, there is definitely Sisters Network. I wholeheartedly, 100%, they walk with you through your journey, you know, whatever your need is. I was a member of the group for 10, 12 years until I moved to California. And once I moved out here, I resigned. It's a wonderful group. And they help with bills, with mammograms, with, you know, just supporting, you know, ladies that are going through.
Yeah. And I'm sure with, you know, now we have a lot of access to social media where you have Facebook groups and a lot of access to, you know, looking for different groups online because now you have an array. It's so for some women who may be in need, there is help out there. It's what I'm hearing you say.
Oh, there's definitely help. There is another group called The Bridge, and they help with the prosthesis. You know, when the ladies when they have a mastectomy and they remove both breasts, mm-hmm. if they decide that they don't want to go in and have implants, mm-hmm. then they will help with the bras. They will help with the you know, because those bras are kind of expensive.
Right.
They help. That whole process, once I was finally healed and well, because some people, they do the chemotherapy and they still have their breasts. Me, I actually did it. They removed the breast and then I did the chemotherapy and all of that. But sometimes it's done differently, you know. But once mine was all over and then I went into the doing the implants because that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
But once I did that was a whole nother process. And that whole process was about another 6 months to a year. when I was doing that. So it was a long process, you know?
Yeah. But here you are, healed and a survivor. How many years have you been a survivor?
It's been 13 years.
Wow. What a blessing.
What a blessing.
What can you tell our listeners right now? Because what I hear from you, early detection is key, but let's say that it doesn't run in someone's family, you know, because sometimes they're like, oh, it doesn't run in my family. So breast exams, I'll just wait till for my yearly visit and my gynecologist, she can, you know, do the breast exam and that'll be it for that one time that year, you know, and they miss something. What do you say to someone who has that thought process?
I say that the breast self-exam it's key. Because with mine, I had the mammogram in end of January. I found my cancer, by doing the breast self-exam in May.
Mm-hmm.
I found it in May that I had the mammogram. Yeah. And here it comes. And when I did find it, like I said, it was triple negative. And it was very aggressive.
Your yearly mammogram in January, and you were already doing your self-examinations, and here comes May, and you feel a lump. Basically, what I hear you saying is, hey, it doesn't matter if you get it, your mammogram that month, and they come back and they say, oh, we didn't detect anything, everything is okay, you're normal. That's not good enough. Every month we should be giving ourselves our self-examinations.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Because absolutely. If you would have waited to go the following January and it's aggressive, you wouldn't have had an opportunity to catch it the way that you
No, I wouldn't have. No, yeah. I honestly don't think that I would have been here by then. With it being as aggressive as it was, yeah. I mean, by the time when they found the tumor, it was like a 0.2 centimeter.
Mm-hmm.
By the time they removed it in June, it had grown to 0.4.
Wow.
You know, so with that being said, just let you know how aggressive it was and how fast it was moving.
Right.
You know, I definitely I push all the time. I'm, you know, I see friends or whatever, I'm asking them, you know, are you doing your self breast exam? Because I really think that saved my life. And it's easy to do. You know, it don't take long. You just get easy, you know, in the shower, you're laying in bed, you know, you just check your breast. And who better knows your breast than you?
And
you know, if you touch, you feel it.
That's true. That is true. And we should know our bodies. We should know our bodies. But what's the best time, would you say? You know, you hear different things. So do it a couple weeks after your cycle. Do it a couple weeks before your cycle. What do you suggest as far as, you know, someone who does her monthly examinations and who has gone through the journey? What do you tell somebody who's like, I don't know what to do or how to do it or when to do it, rather?
I definitely, like, not like after your cycle, because you know, on your cycle, your breasts tend to be sore and they're swollen, you know, and that could be a little misleading.
Mm-hmm.
But after your cycle, when your body is kind of calmed down and going back to normal,
right,
then, you know, I'd say wait, you know, maybe a week after your cycle and in the morning times. That's when I always did it, whenever I took a shower.
Okay.
You know, and I found that, you know, that seems to work for a lot of ladies.
Right.
Just getting to know your body and definitely your breast, and you know, hey, there's nothing wrong with, you know, checking them out, seeing how they feel, you know,
exactly.
knowing you,
because it could be a matter of life and death. It's your health. And like you said, nobody is more concerned about you or your health than you should be. So
that's right. That's right. We have to be an advocate for our own health.
Amen. Amen. Oh, I am so happy that you are a survivor and 13 years strong, and that you are helping so many women and young girls. I see that you speak to young ladies and you share your journey with so many people. And that's the beauty of this life journey. You know, we go through certain things, certain challenges for different reasons. But the main reason is what we get and what we go through or who we become on the other side can be a blessing to somebody else who may be, you know, who going through that journey or about to enter the journey. So I do appreciate you for sharing and with us. I know that somebody's going to be blessed today. And I really do. And you just keep on doing what you're doing. Keep looking as beautiful as you look. She has on her, I tell everybody, you're in California, I'm here in Houston, and we're doing the Zoom technology thing now, especially with COVID, but you look absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
She is in her, she looks great. And her hair is gorgeous, okay? It's beautifully blonde. I'm loving it. I love the look. I know that you went home recently, and you were with your family. How was that time with your family, especially with this being Breast Cancer Awareness Month, the month of October, and just getting with your family, because I know they're able to celebrate your survivor journey. How was that?
Oh my God, it was amazing. Just being with my mom, and seeing her, and by her doing so good,
Now, how long has your mom been a survivor? What's her survivor journey?
My mom is now 30.
Wow.
I think it's 30 years now she's a survivor. Wow. A long time. Yeah.
There is hope, everybody.
There is definitely hope. Have faith. Faith of a mustard seed. And just take it one day at a time, really 1 minute at a time, because when you're going through it, it all seems so tough and just seems unbearable. But please know God got you. God got you. And if you got faith of a mustard seed, he'll bring you through. Yeah. Stay positive. Have faith. And just when you see the sunshine, just have faith in that and just grow and just let the sun just nourish you. Because I used to look out the window, lay in my bed, I look at the window. Oh my God, when I see that sunshine, I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I know there is a God, and I know he's going to bring me through this.
Yeah. Now that's awesome. That right there can end the show. So I want to say thank you. I mean, that have faith, know and trust God, and look at the sun, because if you're always looking up, it's something to hope for and to aspire to. That
absolutely.
Better days are ahead.
Better days are ahead. Yep. It might look dark and bleak right now. Yeah. And it's okay to get down. Don't stay down.
Yeah.
Get back up and just let your light shine, you know?
I love
that. Try to put on something bright. I love that.
Pink. She's in a hot pink. Not just a pastel pink, a hot pink. Like, hey, I'm here. with the lipstick. So it's awesome. I love it. I thank you so much. Thank you so much for being a blessing to all.
Oh, you're welcome.
And continue prayers, success on your journey, and just God continuing to use you to be a blessing. I thank you so much. And I look forward to you sitting at the mic with me again.
Okay, absolutely. You need me, call me.
I will. Thank you so much, Carnelia, for sitting at the mic with me and sharing your beautiful testimony, your journey, and becoming a 13-year breast cancer survivor. Thank you for so much insight, for your advice and wisdom that you were able to share with our listeners today. I sincerely appreciate it. May God continue to bless you and continue to use you to be a blessing to others. To the listeners, if there is someone out there who's just been diagnosed with breast cancer or who is going through the journey of it right now, there is hope. Carnelia's story of not only her being a survivor, but her mother being a survivor for 30 years, there is hope, and there is also support out there for you. And to all of us women, we need to be doing our self breast examinations every single month. As you heard in Carnelia's story, she had a mammogram in January, and because she had been faithful in taking care of herself and giving herself her self breast examinations every month, she was able to detect a lump in her breast, and that was able to save her life just months after getting a clear on her mammogram. So that's really important. And to the men, encourage the women that you love to make sure that they are taking part in their own health, and that they are definitely doing their monthly breast examination, because we want everybody to be healthy. Again, I want to thank you guys for taking the time to listen to Life, Love, Marriage, Divorce, the podcast. I sincerely appreciate you. May you guys have a blessed week. Until the next podcast, God bless.